You see, Christmas isn't just about giving gifts and presents that no one needs with money you don't have. Think about that. The Word of God became flesh, born of a virgin. God gave us the greatest gift of all in Himself, the Word that became flesh and was born of a virgin, born like one of us so that he could experience the same things that we do, the suffering and the hurt and the pain of humanity. But why? Why would God want to do such a thing? Why would God want to leave the beauty and the eternity and the glory of perfection and come down here? Why would He want to come down here and pay such a high price? I'll tell you why. Love. Pure and simple. Love. Because of God's love for every man, woman, and child that ever was, is, or will be, God came down at Christmas in the form of the Christ child. Because God loved us so much, He didn't want anyone to perish. God came and adopted us. Adopted. You are an adopted child, son or daughter of God, of the Most High God, so that we would not have to live as slaves, trying to obey a bunch of laws and rules to live by, but to be set free. Christ set us free from the law, slavery to the law, and are welcomed into the family of God as adopted sons and daughters. That's what happened at Christmas. That is what Christmas is all about, is being set free. And that's really what Paul is trying to say here, that in Christ we can live freely into the worth, there's that word, worth, live into the worth that God has given us. In other words, we don't have to please God by trying to obey a bunch of rules and our own efforts, striving to earn His favor. It is through faith and belief and acceptance of God's gift of grace that we have been adopted and accepted as God's children and received the inheritance of God's kingdom, both now and later. Okay, that's the scripture. But what about the song? What does O Holy Night have to do with all of this? Maybe a little bit of a background on the backstory of this beautiful song that the ladies just enacted here and signed for us will be helpful. Well, in 1847, a Frenchman by the name of Placide Capot. Placide was a commissioner of wine in a small French village. And although he was a Christian, he was not much of a churchgoer. But he was a very, very good poet. And one night, the local parish priest came to him and asked him if he would compose a poem for the upcoming Christmas Eve Mass. But he only had a couple of weeks to do it. But he did it. He did it. And when he was finished, Capot was very, very impressed with what he had come up with and believed that it had truly come from God, inspired by God. But Capot was still not satisfied. He felt like it still needed to be put to music. And so he contacts his old friend Adolph Adam, and Adam puts it to music. He was a famous composer at the time, and he agrees to put these words, this poem, to song. Well, 3 weeks later, on Christmas Eve in 1847, O Holy Night was performed for the very first time. It was a huge hit, too. But later, Capot fell away from the church for political reasons. And then it was found out that the writer of this music, the score, was Adolph Adam, who was a Jew. And many churches in France refused to sing this song anymore because of that. But not all churches. Some of them still sang, and it was still part of the Christmas services in many parts of France. Well, nobody knew about this song in America until 10 years later. 10 years later, 1857, a man by the name of John Sullivan Dwight, who was a Massachusetts pastor, realized that he could not function as a pastor anymore. He would become violently ill every time he had to preach. And so he had to give up his ministry. He had to give up preaching and speaking before the congregation. But Dwight also had many other gifts, and one of them was publishing. He began publishing a document or a publication called Dwight's Journal of Music. And he was always out looking for new music and different sources of music. And one day he came across the song Cantique de Noël, which is the French name for O Holy Night. He sees these beautiful words and he translates them from French to English using some of the words that we sing today. And when you go to Wikipedia, if you bring up O Holy Night, it shows the French in the French, and then it also has the English translation, and then a couple of other versions of O Holy Night, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Now, Dwight did take some liberties in his translation. You'll recall that the year was 1857, about 6 years prior to something very important in our country's history, the Civil War. The country was torn apart with the issue of slavery and the states' rights. And so the context from which Dwight worked was the impending Civil War. So he looks at the meaning of the words in this O Holy Night, the song O Holy Night, and tweaks them a little bit in support of the abolitionist movement in our country, in the North, that is. And so what I'm going to share with you today is the original meaning of Cantique de Noël. And it's a little different than words that we normally sing, but I don't think this should ruin the song for anybody, because it's all still about God's love for us and about us loving one another. Particularly the third verse. The third verse goes, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law," there's that word law, "his law is love, but his gospel is peace." Notice how Dwight captures that whole idea of the law being good, a good thing, and the gospel is what brings us peace with God. That is Capo, not Dwight. And here's the next part of the verse that goes, "Long live his truth, may it last forever, for in his name all discordant noise shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we with all our hearts. We praise his holy name." That's the original French translation, English translation of the French. Now, in Dwight's version, which is different than the original, he inserts and changes these words. Words that we heard sung just a while ago. "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name." Did you hear those words? Chains, slaves, oppression. You can see the influence of Dwight's context here and his bent towards the abolitionist movement of the day, a subtle reminder of the evils of slavery. And so, this verse of this song became a powerful political statement of the time. But it was also solidly theological as well. For those who have been enslaved by trying to keep the law just can't do it. And because Christ was born, suffered, and died for us, you and I are set free and are found to be of great worth. This song is giving testimony to that. That's why you and I are of such great worth, because we belong to God. God has claimed us through our baptism, claimed us as his own children, heirs to the kingdom. At that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago, God broke through the heavens to come to earth, to you and me, to claim us. And on that silent, holy night, God's love came down, became human flesh to eventually redeem us on the cross. I want to close with one last observation on this song, in this song. In the version of the song we normally hear, it says, "Fall on your knees, fall on your knees, fall on your knees," in every chorus, just about every chorus. In the original, though, translated from the French, the first chorus does say, fall on your knees. But the second one says, bow your heads. Bow your heads. And the third one says, stand on your feet. Fall on your knees. Bow your heads. Stand on your feet. And I think these are wonderful responses to the good news contained in this song and an expression of our faith. And maybe for somebody this Christmas, maybe somebody in this congregation today, maybe this Christmas might be the time that God touches their heart in a special way and that they put their faith in God's redeeming love, God's redeeming grace. Are you that someone today? Have you felt God's redeeming love and mercy, forgiveness and grace? Or are you being held captive, enslaved by feelings of low self-worth? Perhaps you are in bondage to doubts, fears, feelings of rejection, feelings of abandonment, feelings of doubt. Perhaps you're struggling with one of those feelings today. Well, I've got good news for you. You can receive God's gift today, right this minute, right where you're sitting, and know that you are someone of great worth because you can be or already are a child of God. Do you want to know what your worth is? You were worth dying for. Think about that this Christmas. You were worth dying for. That's how much God loves us, loves you, loves me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for the grace that made it possible for us to know our true worth. And help us to understand the true meaning of Christmas this year. To understand the great cost of becoming human. How it cost you so much to become human, to suffer and die, and to bring us back to you. So that now in our hearts, we can say as your children, Papa, Abba, Father. Lord, I pray that we can all be assured of these eternal truths today. And help us to receive anew your gift of grace, your gift of love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen.